With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Rich McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a beautiful Saturday morning. A little cool as I got up this morning, but all the sleeping weather. It was so good. Just had the window cracked just a little bit, and I'm under the covers. It was so nice. I love this weather. Makes me happy. Everybody, I hope you're having a fantastic weekend. I hope you had a great week. I did. Oh, busy, running around like a crazy person. But really regretting that V8 engine in my truck just a little bit. Gas is getting too expensive. Might have to go back to a smaller vehicle. Yeah, probably not going to happen. I had a great week. I helped a friend of mine close on their house. One of my former producers. You know, he and his wife decided it was time to get a bigger place. The kids are getting bigger. They wanted to get a little bit more for out. You know, get... The thing, I keep hearing people talk about, I want to have chickens and pigs and goats. That's the thing now. First of all, chickens, I can get that. I understand chickens. I can have chickens in my place. I can have up to 5 chickens in the city. And I've considered it. I seriously have. Just to keep the bugs down in my backyard and have the eggs. But the downside is I have critters in the neighborhood and they'd probably kill them. And then there's goats. That's like the hot thing right now. Everybody wants to have goats. Take it from me. I grew up with goats. They're not fun. They're cute for like a minute. It's like getting a puppy. Everybody's like, oh, I want a puppy. Sure you do. Everybody wants a puppy. Puppies are cute. Little small buffy thingy. And then they become dogs. Oh, baby goats become goats. And they're not nearly as cute. And they smell awful. It's not a good thing. And pigs are even worse. Oh, look, a little pot-belly pig. Oh, isn't he adorable? Yeah, for a year or two, those things will get up to 100 pounds. It's not a cute little pot-belly pig anymore. So, but we'll talk about that. Had a closing. I changed out some windows. That happened this week. I went and saw Captain Marvel.
Aren't you supposed to go see Avengers?
Yes, I was. But I just figured I can't go see Avengers if I haven't seen Captain Marvel. And I haven't been in a movie theater in years. Honestly, couldn't remember. I've been with my wife 2 years. We've never gone to a movie. Ever. And so anybody calling in and trying to give spoilers for Avengers Endgame, I will curse you. I will say bad words. I mean, I will like find a witch doctor somewhere and put a curse on you. No spoiling Avengers. Jordan, how are you doing, sir? You had a busier week than me.
Yeah, it's been a busy week for sure.
You put some miles on the vehiculars.
On the station vehiculars.
I did notice you were driving a station vehicle.
Yeah, so I was very thankful for that. However, I will say one of the station vehicles, not a Chevy Tahoe, actually is pretty terrible on gas mileage. And considering gas is creeping up near $3 a gallon now, I was none too pleased to be driving that for 3 days.
Tahoe up and dip back. Now, I when you came in this morning, I meant it. I asked if you needed a hug. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. That's the nature of sports.
But
your team isn't going to win it every single year.
But they came close.
But not really all that close this year.
What do you mean? You said it was double overtime and they lost by 1 point.
Yeah, but it was the first round, so there's still 8 teams left playing in the playoffs.
Oh, see, I'm confused. I thought this was it.
No. This was the first 16 teams in the whole league make the playoffs. Washington made the playoffs, but they got bounced in the first round.
See, this has me all confused.
Remember last year how UVA got beat by UMBC and it was this historic upset?
Yes.
It's not exactly along those lines, but coming in, everyone thought that Washington would kind of breeze through the first round at least. Didn't happen that way, and
I thought this was it. This was the playoffs. They have the cup, and it was done. I didn't know you were that far out from the end of this.
No, the Stanley Cup final isn't until like the end of May,
because hockey's a spring sport.
It's a fall into the through the winter into the spring sport.
It's like NASCAR. It just keeps going.
Pretty much. Oddly enough, NASCAR and hockey actually have two of the shortest off seasons. So the Stanley Cup final will end in June sometime, like either early June or middle of June, and then they start training camp again in September. So they have July. It's kind of like kids going to school. You think summer vacation is super long, but really it's like 6 weeks.
I learned something about baseball. I'm not a sports guy,
right?
Especially baseball. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The reason I don't go to games is because it just takes forever.
Right.
And it just goes on. And then I found out that players do 168 games a year. And most of them, as long as it takes for the game to go on, most of them show up like 3 and 4 hours before the game even starts.
Yep. Yep.
So what do you do for 3 or 4 hours?
You take fielding practice, you take batting practice, you go see the trainer, you get stretched, you work out. You might, some of these guys will actually go through a workout before the game.
What do you work out for? You stand around.
Well, that's exactly why they have to work out.
Every now and then you might have to scratch yourself or spit.
That's why they put them through the workouts beforehand.
Okay. It's ridiculous.
So it kind of makes up for the fact that they do a lot of standing around during the game.
It's
sitting in the dugout or standing on the edge of the dugout.
The level of boredom for them. I feel sorrier for them than I do for me. It just would go, but I mean, you get paid to play a game. There's always that at the end of the day. So do you have any more? Are you going to be going to any more games, or is that it for
That is it. I'm strictly Capitals, not Hurricanes. Our friend Vaughn, who does afternoons at XL 102,
excellent dude,
is a huge Carolina Hurricanes fan. And I actually met one of the in arena hosts in Carolina. Actually knows Vaughn and Matt Murphy, who does airtime on Q94.
One of the coolest dudes you'll ever meet.
So it was kind of a small world moment there, because I'm making small talk with this guy, and he's like, "Oh yeah," he's like, I know a couple of guys that are in radio in Richmond," and he was like, "Do you listen to Q94?" And I was like, "Actually, they're one of our stations.
They're right upstairs."
And he was like, "Oh, that's awesome! I know Vaughn and Matt." And I was like, "Well, that's amazing. Small world."
Well, I've got a ton of stuff to talk about. I went to my stepson's wedding last weekend. I thought that was going to be awkward. Turned out wonderful. I got to say that. Also, I got to talk about people are looking for work. Workers. They're not looking for work. They're looking for people to do the work. So I will discuss that. And at 7 o'clock, my buddy Alan Fisher's coming in to discuss the Appleseed Project. So all of that, plus your calls at 345-1140. This is The Home Show. McCann, News Radio, WRBA. I wanted to bring up something that the master of afternoons, Jeff Katz, brought up today, is they are doing a medication, National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day today. What that means is all those meds that are left over
in your medicine cabinet. Those things need to go, and they need to go someplace safe. Flushing them is a bad idea. I mean, it's so many people flush medication that it's actually affecting the wildlife. Yeah, it's a thing. So you also have to worry about people who are now breaking into homes and they're going through your medicine cabinets. Or, you know, I hate to say it, kids. Kids will go digging through medicine cabinets looking for those prescriptions that, you know, you had a toothache. They gave you something strong. You only needed it for a couple of days. I just put these up here. And they stay up there. You have no idea how dangerous some of that stuff is. I personally, I'm trying to convince my wife to dump one of her medications. All right. She hasn't done it yet. She keeps it just in case. I've talked about this before. She has a prescription for Ambien, a sleep aid. She doesn't sleep well. We all know that. I took half of one night and had the most vivid, visceral, ugly dreams I'd ever had. And I told her, I was like, honey, please stop taking this stuff. I said, take the Tylenol PM and that'll help. And it does. That's just fine. And the other night, she just couldn't sleep, couldn't get there. And so she took half an Ambien. She woke up the next morning crying. She had this dream, and it was so vivid and so real that she woke up upset. Careful with those meds. So anyway, they are doing the take back program today from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. And here's some of the places they're doing it. In Richmond, Richmond Sheriff's Office, McGuire Veterans Administration Medical Center. In Henrico County, you got the Walmart on 9 Mile Road, Verina Public Library, Henrico Police Department on Parham Road, Virginia State Police Division on Brook Road in Hanover, Mechanicsville Convenience Center, Ashland Police Department, Chesterfield, they're doing the Eanes Pittman Public Safety Training Center. And in Petersburg, you got the CVS on Crater Road and the Walmart on Crater Road. So go through your medicine cabinets. You have some old meds in there lying around. Get rid of them. Get rid of them safely. I heard stories. Who knows if it's true? Sometimes I just don't know if it's real or if urban legend. But I mean, I've heard of pill parties where teenagers would just show up and that whatever medication they had found, they would just dump into a bowl and you just walk past and grab whatever. You don't even know what you're getting. People do stupid things. That's all I got to say about that. So I had an interesting week. Yesterday was a great day. For those of you who've been with me for a while, and there's some of you that have been here for a very, very long time. I have had quite a few producers, but the difference between me and a lot of other people is I stay friends with my producers for decades. I mean, let's face it, you know, half of them were invited to my wedding. You know, the ones, all of them that were, I could still reach. And if you go back a few years ago, I had a producer named Andrew. Andrew was also the producer up at Sports Radio, and he was known as the Captain. That's right. The Captain was also my producer. And so he left radio to pursue his dream of law enforcement, which who can blame him? If that's in your blood, it's in your blood. I never had any real desire for it. I just don't. But he did, and he, as much as he loved radio, he moved on to become a police officer. But we stayed friends. Did we get together every once a week? No. But every now and then, we just, you know, catch up, see what's going on. And he decided he and his wife wanted to sell their house and get something a little bit bigger, a little bit more land. I can understand that. Growing families, right? We all want, you know, that place somewhere. Everybody has their dream home. When I was a younger man, my dream was a loft in like an old warehouse. I know. There's plenty of them downtown, Richard. No, not like that. I mean, like off away from everybody. It looks like it would be someplace like Batman would hang out. That's what I wanted, that kind of loft. Highlander. Think Highlander, the first movie. There can be only one. But they decided they wanted to sell their house and find something else. Now, they're fortunate. A lot of us aren't. One of the trickiest things in real estate that I have learned is trying to sell your house and buy another house at the same time. That's when realtors are just doing gymnastics. It's constantly on the phone, constantly shifting papers, getting addendums, numbers, blah, 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 blah. They did something smart. They moved in with the parents for a while. Why not? Parents got plenty of room. Parents and them get along. The little kids get to know Grammy and Grandpa. Makes perfect sense. So they come to me. They said, Richard, can you help us sell our house? And my thought was, yes, I can. Ah! And funny enough, this is the season. This is the time of year, if you're going to sell a house, you should do it. This is the time of year everybody's thinking about it. This is the time of year people have been trapped inside their home all winter long, and they're just thinking, if I have to see these four walls one more time. I've done it myself. More than once, I've just looked around going, maybe we should move. No reason. No reason whatsoever. Costa de McCann has everything I could possibly want except a garage. That's not reason enough to move, but I've thought about it. And so they get together with me. Richard, what do you think? Yeah, we list it. Now, one of the things you need a realtor for is to figure out what the house is worth. We have these little programs that we can use. And I know you're going to say, well, I can go on this website or that website. Yeah, you could. It's not completely accurate. A lot of these websites out there that claim to know what they're doing don't, just between you and me. And so I helped them list their house. Now, one of the things I liked about doing this for a living is I was in construction. So I can kind of give people advice that they don't normally get. Now, here's the first trick. I'm going to tell you, not about selling a house, but about buying one. And this is something I'm hopefully going to help Jordan with. The whole I'm approved for X number of dollars is a farce. Now, why am I saying this? Well, because I've been there. I've gone through it too many times with friends that are trying to buy a house, and they call their bank. And, I mean, it's just on the phone, right? Hello, bank. It's customer so-and-so. Hello, customer so-and-so. Yeah, I'm thinking about buying a house. Well, that's great. What do you think I get to be approved for? You are approved for $220,000. Wow, really? Yes. Can I get that in writing? Sure. And they'll send you a piece of paper that says, you are approved for this much money. Congratulations. And you're like, hey, I can buy whatever I want right now. Then you find the house, and then you go back to the bank, and you say, hey, remember that piece of paper you gave me says I'm approved for $220,000? We sure do. Well, I found a house. You did? Yeah, that's right. I'd like $220,000. Okay, no. That's when all the hoops start. It is incredible how many hoops you have to jump through to get approved for a loan. Now, part of this is because of the bubble bursting, right? Everybody remembers that. Everybody was getting approved. Like, no big deal. You could just walk in, walk out. You got a house. Can you make the payments? Not really. That's okay. We'll give it to you anyway. Things have gotten so much tighter now. Now there's more inspections. There's more paperwork. Are you behind on your taxes? Have you got all your taxes straight? And I mean straight. Because if you don't, you can't get that loan. Well, I make a really good living. Do you? But do you owe money on cars? Well, yeah, I do owe money on cars. Then you can't buy a house. There's so many hoops to jump through these days. I'll talk about it more, and I'll tell you what I had to do to help Andrew get rid of his place. Right here on the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. News Radio at WRVA. It's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. And don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you can take the show wherever you go, and all of the podcasts of this show are up at WRVA.com. So stop hounding me about it. They're there. You can listen as much as you want. You can even listen twice. That'll make you happy. So yesterday was a good day for Richard. Yeah, he had a very good day. Did see Captain Marvel. I wouldn't advise it. For those of you who think, I can't see Endgame until I've seen Captain Marvel. Yeah, you really can. And that disappoints me, because I'm such a, I grew up reading comic books. I was that kid. I was a nerdy kid, and I loved comic books. So it's just been the last 10 years, it's been a great time to be alive for me. And I was so excited. I mean, any movie that has superheroes, I'm there. I'm like, oh, let's watch this. Now, if you haven't seen it, you can see Endgame without. You'll be all right. It's fine. Seriously. So, but what was really good was I get the phone call that Andrew's house closed. You know, they were trying to sell it. It wasn't a long process. Now, here's something I'm going to tell you. A little behind-the-scenes baseball. Anytime a realtor says, okay, we got a contract, they're going to say, you're going to say, well, how long is this going to take? And traditionally, they're going to say 60 days. 60 days. We're going to have this place sold in 60 days. Okay. And I have yet. Now, there's probably realtors out there right now that are going, you're not doing something right, Richard. Possible. But inevitably, we'll get right down to the closing date. And there's a snafu. And there's an addendum. And things get pushed back. And we'll get closer to that closing date. And there'll be some kind of little piece of paperwork that is missing or something. And it'll get pushed back. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to buy or sell a house, be patient. If you're wondering, you know, one of the major things you're paying that realtor for is to help you. Be patient. They're there to take you by the hand and say, it'll be all right. We'll get, it's going to happen. Yes, I know you're frustrated. Stop that. It'll be okay. So what happened with this one was just, it blew my mind. Quite literally blew my mind. Because the buyer had a home inspection, which everybody should. My view on home inspectors, a little dubious. But that's okay. We're not going to discuss that right now. And so they get their home inspection. They're going for just a standard loan. Go through a bank. I want a loan. Here's your mortgage. Standard mortgage. Boom, bang, done. No big deal. And that's the plan. And the plan just keeps on going. And going. I hear nothing. I don't. Any problems? Nope. Everything's good over here. Great. My customer calls me up. Is there any problems? Nope. Everything's good over here. Great. And then a week. Week and a half. Before everything's supposed to be done. Actually, more like 2 weeks. I get a phone call. We still want the house, Richard, just so you know, we want the house. I'm like, yeah, I know, you're under contract, you're getting the house. But we had to change of plans for the financing. Okay. No offense, but why is that my problem? I wasn't that rude about it, but I thought about it, like, why is this my problem? Why didn't you do this in the first place? And then they said, well, we're going to switch to FHA. Fine, okay, we'll switch to FHA, great, whatever. FHA loans require an FHA inspection. Now, here's real quick. For all of you out there that say, I want to buy a fixer-upper, I think that's awesome. You want to buy something low and put sweat equity into it. I believe in you. I think that's a fantastic idea. Here's the problem. Getting financing for houses like that is like pulling teeth. Our loaning agencies, they want you to buy a house. They want to sell you a product. They want to sell you their mortgage. But unless you can live in it, financing it is darn near impossible. These people that are quote-unquote flippers, they're not financing their homes. They're paying cash for them. You just can't walk in and say, hey, you know what? This needs a new kitchen and a new bathroom, but I want to buy it. And the bank will just say no. So I get a call. We're switching to FHA. Okay, fine. I don't care. Buy the house. Get it done. I have things to do. And then if you listened last week, because I dealt with this for a week, I get a phone call that says this.
Well, they cannot access the crawl space, and the windows won't stay up.
Now, first of all you have to do to access a crawl space is open the crawl space. The inspector was too lazy to do that. Second of all, I haven't heard anybody say anything about this whole windows situation. And I'm like, what are you talking about, the problem with the windows? The windows are exactly the same as they were when the people bought the house. They were. I asked Andrew, I'm like, did the windows always stay up? He goes, they kind of slide down a little bit. And so I go over there, and I'm looking around the windows. I'm like, you're right. Okay. These windows aren't staying up. You are absolutely correct. So I started trying to figure out how to repair these windows. Because that's what we talk about here on the show. If something's broken, we fix it. I don't want to replace it. I don't like throwing things out. I hate the idea of a disposable nation. And so these are original wooden windows, single pane, with little aluminum tracks and springs in them. You heard me complaining about them last week. And I thought to myself, there has to be a way to fix these. So the first person I call is my buddy Mike Nader. You know, Mike's a contractor. He does small stuff. He does a lot of repair stuff. Kind of like what I used to do. I don't want to repotter pipe your whole house, but I will install your water heater. That was I like doing small work. In, I'm out, I'm done, thank you. I said, how do we repair these windows? Can't be done. No one's ever asked me. I don't know how to do it. I appreciate it. I call Kirk Akey. Kirk, here's the windows I've got. Spring loaded. They won't stay up. How do I repair them? He goes, I have no idea. We just tear them out and replace them. Now I'm getting frustrated. So I think to myself, okay, everything that's broken can be fixed. Who am I going to call? So I go to Pleasance. And you got to love Pleasance because they have people that's all they do is hardware, and they've been doing it for decades. You know, you can go to your big box stores, and I give it them. They got the prices, and they got the stuff. But they don't have those old hardware people. And I'm not saying men. I said people. I walk up to the lady. I explain, look, I know this is the only place I can go to get storm windows repaired. If you have storm windows and the screens have gotten damaged, take them Pleasance. They have a company. Might take them 4 weeks, but they'll rescreen your windows for you. I'm like, that. I know you can do that. Here's my situation. I need to fix these windows that are spring loaded. And right off the bat, they said, National Sliding Door Company. I'm like, who? I said, I've never heard of them. Well, turns out there's a company right here in Richmond. They make their own doors and windows. Custom made. Well, I'm going looking for them. And I walk into something I haven't seen in forever, which is an old-style lumberyard warehouse. See, a lot of you don't remember lumberyards. You've gotten so used to Big Blue and Big Orange, you forget about those places. You know, they were tucked back in the corner off some road that you never go down. And it's all these buildings, wooden structures that have been there for 50 years and lumber stacked to the ceiling and windows of every shape, color, size. You know, some of them have been there forever, but they still have them. They can get it for you. And I walk into this guy and I said, here's my situation. And I explain, I got these spring-loaded windows. And he not only does he sell the parts, he has them in stock. Only one problem. Nobody's ever rebuilt them before. Never been done. In fact, he just, I said, do you know anybody that can do this for me? He goes, no. I called one last guy. I called Sewers Woodworking. They send me to their, like, number one old wood guy. I have him meet me, and he looks at me. He goes, Richard, I hate to tell you this, brother, but there ain't no fixing these things. They got to go. He said, there's no fix. You replace them. He said, because just the amount of hours it would take to fix them would be counterproductive. My name is Richard McCann. This is a home show. Richard McCann, News Radio WRBA. Welcome to the home show. 345-1140 is the phone number. Wrap this up because in the next hour, my buddy Alan Fisher is going to come in. We are going to talk about the Appleseed Project and some just general gun safety for you and your home. I know I talk about it a lot. But I like to talk about it in a more practical way. I'm not sitting there talking about, it's my right to do that. I don't want to get into that. Really don't care. That's for people smarter than me to argue. But I do want to talk about just safety and general training. I went to the range a couple of weeks ago. And was really glad I did. But I was also impressed with their safety protocols. Made me happy. So finish up this situation. Here's what's going on. House is supposed to close. I'm the realtor. I'm supposed to, let me tell you this straight up. You would, for people that get in the business, why I could not begin to tell you, really, if you think it's easy, it isn't. It's a lot of work. But the seller really has a lot less responsibility than the buyers. The buyer's agent, you jump through a million hoops and it's just constant phone calls and people running you ragged. But this particular part of it kind of fell on me. Here, the wooden windows wouldn't stay open. There's nothing wrong with them. They're in fine condition. They look lovely, but you can't fix them. There's no fixing. You're talking to a guy who has rebuilt wooden windows with weights in them. I can repair windows that are 100 years old. I can't repair windows that are 35 years old. 40. So I'm talking to the owner. He's losing his mind. He's like, this is BS, man. Why didn't somebody say something about this weeks ago? And I'm like, dude, I got you. I get it. You're upset. Take a breath. We'll figure it out. I talked to three different contractors, all of which I know and respect. Oh, by the way, Jordan, you're going to find this really, really funny. One of the contractors, the last guy I talked to, his name is Adam McGann, McGann. And I call him out of the blue. He doesn't know who I am. And we're talking. I said, well, my name's Richard McCann. He goes, wait a minute. You're on the radio. I'm like, yeah, I'm on the radio. He goes, do you know how many times people ask me if I'm related to you? I said, no, it can't be related to me. You're off by one letter there, big man. But
small world.
It is a small world, after all. End of the day, there's nothing for it. These windows have to come out. Now, I don't have to replace all of them, which threw me. I'm like, really? They said, no. Any room that has doors that can get you the outside is fine. You leave those alone. They said, it's the rooms that don't have a form of egress. I said, so if a bedroom has two windows in it, only one of them has to stay up? Yep. So you want me to just replace one window? If that's what it takes. And I make sure I double check with everybody that everybody understands what's about to happen. You're about to have a house with mismatched windows. Are you cool with that? Yep. Okay. All right, I'm good. I'm not going to stop you. And I call around to my peoples. I'm like, okay, who can put in some windows for me? Who can help a brother out? And everybody's saying the same thing. This is why when I talk about calling people up and saying, I want to get on your list, get on your list. And so it gets to the point like, nothing for it. Guess what? Richard's putting in windows. Chuck and Glenn Allen.
Hey, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
I'm sorry. Hey, I was looking at replacing some old wooden windows. I have two wooden windows, and then I have a kitchen window. Who do you suggest, can I do it myself?
Or
do you suggest a company?
I mean, the question really comes down to, are you a handy guy?
Yeah.
Have you done woodworking before?
Yes.
Then here's the thing. Can you change out the window yourself? Yes. Oh, my God. Did you just hear that? I just heard Kirk Akey scream all the way from out in Midlothian. No! Yes. Yes, you kind of can. Now, you're not going to get the same quality window as if you go to these guys that's all they do is windows. You're going to get a inexpensive, builder's-grade, replacement vinyl window. Are they great? No. Will they do the job? Oh, yeah, they'll do the job. But it's not going to be the same quality as paying somebody to come in and change out your windows.
Who do you suggest?
I'll go with Kirk Akey and Akey's Home Improvement.
Kirk Akey's?
Mm-hmm.
Akey's.
You've only heard me talk about them twice a show, every show for the last 4 years.
Yeah. What do you think of this? I mean, these other places, like Window World.
I've never dealt with them.
Okay.
And that's just the honest to God's truth. I've never dealt with them. Like I said, I put in a couple of windows myself.
Yeah, I mean, these wooden windows, obviously they're not real well, and having them wrapped on the outside as well.
Right, and that's all part of it. That's all stuff that the professional window guys do.
Okay. Thank you, my man. You're the best.
Thanks, Chuck. 345-1140. I priced them out. I went to the two big box stores. I did see a difference in service. That was disappointing. I'm not going to point fingers. And I did find a difference in price. One was a bit cheaper than the other, 20, 30 bucks. Now, if you want to get a better price on windows, if you're going to put in yourself, I will say this. The cross-hatching, the stuff inside that makes it look like six panels versus just, a big piece of glass, that adds about 20 to 30 bucks per window right there. So keep that in mind. I got them. It wasn't hard for what I had to do. I pulled the trim on the inside, and I'm not talking about all the trim. I'm just talking about the little pieces that were holding the sashes into place. Pulled those out, and I hate to say it, these windows probably were a lot cheaper than they needed to be originally, the original windows, because they came out in seconds. I mean, literally, it took me 5 minutes, and I've got the window completely out. Not a big deal. Make sure that you get your windows sized properly. You don't want to go back and forth. And a big thing, I had to replace four windows. And I'm on my fourth one, right? Actually, I take that back. I was on the third. I was on the third window. I set it into place because once you set it into place, you have to make sure it's nice and square. Once it's square, you can screw it into the jamb. And then you can caulk it. And I get it into place, and I grab hold of it to see if it'll slide up and stay put. It wouldn't. Now, if you buy a window at one of the box stores, on the box it says, hey, check this thing, open it up and check it before you take it. I didn't. I had to run back and get another one. But honest to God, not that hard. 345-1140. Wayne and Glenn Allen.
Hey, Richard Wayne, I was the one who called you last week and told you about Huddig Sash and Door and M&W Windows. And
yeah, I couldn't find you, I looked all over these things. There was not a Mark One on them, and there was no fixing it.
Well, you're exactly right. I was going to tell you, I used to sell those windows back in the 70s, and the problem with those windows was what you just encountered. And we used to call them a bungalow fall apart.
A bungalow fall apart. Okay, I'm right. Interested. You got me for 60 seconds.
The window itself was just about like that. With what you found, it was hard to deal with, and you couldn't put the springs back in them. But you were so adamant in trying to do that, I didn't want to tell you that because now you found out the truth.
Oh, so you're one of those parents. Here, take this bobby pin and see where it fits. Yeah, you're a good guy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank
you. But you are doing the right thing. Bye-bye.
It's already done. 3-4-5-11-40. I didn't want to tell you, Richard, that it couldn't be fixed because you were so adamant. I've always learned. I learn more from being wrong than I do from being right. Long story short, though, folks, a little caulk, a little patience, and a sore back later, the people were happy. And they did look pretty good. I'll say that. But you do make sure they're square. That's the real trick. If they're not square, they will not close properly. And remember, if you're buying inexpensive windows from a box store, they're inexpensive windows. They're not the same quality as you're going to get from these people that's all they do is install windows. There's builder's grade, there's contractor's grade, and then there's, it keeps on going from there. Seen some windows that are $1,000 a piece. I've seen one time they were offering installed windows $100. I don't know how good a quality window you were getting for $100, but it was there. My name is Richard McCann. In the next hour, Alan Fisher will be joining me, my dear friend from right here at the Radio Factory. We're going to discuss the Appleseed Project and a few other safety tips for you around your house. This is The Home Show, News Radio, WRVA.
Solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. 345-1140. Let me jump in real quick. Bill on I-64.
Hello.
Are you standing actually on the road?
No, I'm flying above it. Okay. No, I'm in my vehicle.
Okay, what can I do for you?
I've got a palladium window in the master bedroom that, the sash is kind of rotted out, direct sunlight, it was wood. How do I, can I replace that, or do I have to pull out the whole thing? And who would you recommend doing a job like that? I just can't do it. It's too much for me to take on.
I'd call my buddy Mike Nader from Nader's Home Improvement. I mean, it's a little job. He gets in there, cuts it out, puts the new sash in, and calls it a day.
Well, the problem with that, though, is the window is actually cracked, so it's not just the sash that needs to be fixed. It's the actual whole window.
Oh, then you need to call Kirk Akey at Akey's Home Improvement.
Kirk Akey at Akey's Home Improvement. Okay, and then he's able to put in a new window.
Absolutely. Right. Did you say palladium?
Yeah, the half round or whatever. That's what they're called, right?
It's a bay window.
No, it's not a bay window. It's like a half round window. It sits above two regular windows, and it's like a half circle.
I see. I thought palladium is what Wolverine's claws were coated in, but that's adamantium. All right.
Hey, you know what? I'm a Michigan fan, so go Wolverines.
There you go. Thanks, Bill. 345-1140. I am joined by my dear friend, Alan Fisher. Hello, Alan.
Good morning.
We've known each other for now 16 and a half years.
Yeah, something in that order.
I've looked back over both yours and I's Facebook page. Both of us were a lot thinner and a lot darker.
Well, you only see me on my wife's Facebook page.
That's true.
I don't have my own. But
And your wife is a very loyal listener.
Yes, indeed.
And but she puts up pictures of you with like the black beard and the black hair. And I was like,
yeah, that was a long time ago.
You good looking boy back then. Still good looking. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well.
I see you turned in the beluga and got a new beluga.
It became necessary. So,
if you're wondering, that's his white minivan, which the beluga's a whale.
Yep.
And you went back with the exact same thing.
More or less, yeah, and same overall manufacturer. So, but it was a feature package that was reasonable enough, and it had to be replaced. And having the tiny little puppy dogs we have, we had to have a minivan.
Before we go anyplace, let's talk about that for a second. You belong to the Irish Wolfhound Rescue.
Yes.
And can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, I don't even know if most people even know what an Irish Wolfhound is.
Well, most breeds have a rescue group associated with them where they can find placements for a dog that might be in some sort of distress or where its family situation is coming apart. And the Irish Wolfhound breed is no different in that. We had enjoyed the breed for years. When my wife and I got together, we started trying to figure out what dog we wanted to have, because we knew we were going to have a dog, or dogs, plural, perhaps, and settled on the Irish Wolfhound as the breed that we seemed to like the most and that fit the lifestyle we were planning to lead at that point in our early married life.
Now, what people don't understand, these things are as big as a Great Dane.
Yes.
Just massive,
and,
massive
and if they
dog.
Stand on their hind legs, they're taller. They're given credit for being the tallest of all breeds of dogs.
And didn't you tell me the story that when they first were brought to this country, like within the first week, they'd already killed like five wolves or something? You told me a story. It was a long time ago.
The legend is one of the first wolfhounds brought to the country was taken to Colorado back in the 1870s, and it killed 14 wolves its first winter. They are very large, very powerful dogs.
That being said,
and very fast.
But that being said, they're also like sofa doilies.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen your house.
They're couch potatoes. They'll get excited if there's something to be excited about, and they can make 45 miles an hour if they have reason to be excited. And the rest of the time, they're curled up on the couch.
My wife suggested us getting a greyhound rescue because they're
very,
just
very similar.
They're just slugs.
Yeah,
you know, you're one of the fastest dogs on the planet, and you're a slug. So,
a sweet, lovable slug.
A sweet, lovable slug. I mean, God bless you. I know you. The last, three came out of a thing in Texas?
Well, only one of them came out of the Texas situation. A gentleman down in Texas had been a breeder, and his mental faculties started slipping on him as other health issues occurred, and he was not taking care of the dogs, and he had 150 animals total.
Oh.
And as I said, he had been a breeder, so the dogs were indiscriminately breeding amongst themselves. And when Houston SPCA got a hold of them, there were 72 Irish Wolfhounds.
That's unbelievable.
That's a lot of very large dogs.
I don't even know how one would be able to afford to feed them. Probably just a
they were amount. Not being properly cared for. I'm not sure if he could afford to feed them. He apparently had been a vet, so he was doing medicine on his own and that sort of thing there, and it was just not a good situation. And SPCA took all 150 animals and tried to find placements for them, and the Irish Wolfhound community was immediately contacted because no SPCA type facility is prepared for 70 giant breed dogs.
No.
No matter how sweet they are. It went out nationwide, and we were fortunate enough to be selected as one of the folks to get one of these dogs, and he has been a joy to watch because he was not a dog. He was a sniveling little creature when we got him. He was about 65 pounds. We thought he was a puppy. He was actually 2 years old. He grew after we got him, which is really odd for a dog of that age to actually continue to grow, but he's now 120 pounds and a small but nicely shaped Irish Wolfhound.
Sniveling little mess sounds like what I was after my first marriage.
He crawled where he went the first day we had him. He would not walk on it on four legs.
You told me he used to circle the yard in one direction.
He still does a bit. He actually wore a tread in my backyard, running in circles, always counterclockwise.
Well, I mean, I don't know why I brought it up. I just think people, if you're thinking about getting a dog, rescue is the way to go.
We've had so much fun with him, watching him become a dog, and he's still got some quirks. He's not trainable because anything you did to try and train him would spook him. But he's very smart, so he catches on to things. I mean, it's like he's learned to catch treats. He knows to go outside when it's time and that sort of stuff. He's completely housebroken, all that kind of thing. But you really get him to sit. I don't know that it's ever going to happen in his lifetime.
My in-laws, they have one dog named Nell. She was grew up in a basement with like 18, 20 dogs. And you can't touch her. She'll live in the house, but you're never going to pet her. You're never going to lay hands on her. She's better than she was. So I brought you here to talk about Appleseed.
Yep, Project Appleseed. Something near and dear to my heart.
You've been working. The reason I brought you in is my wife has signed up.
Yes.
She is. She was all prepped last night. She said, I got my hotel room because in Charlottesville, is it next weekend?
Next weekend.
They're doing a lady seed.
Yes. Now, Project Appleseed is a marksmanship training organization, marksmanship instruction. We teach basic rifle marksmanship fundamentals, much as the Marine Corps and the Army taught in the 1930s and 40s. When I talk to folks who have a Marine background, they say what we do is very familiar to them.
Mm.
We have, as part of that, we sometimes have ladies-only events. And this one coming up next weekend is ladies-only. It'll be ladies teaching and ladies learning.
I think this is exciting. She's excited about it. We're up against it, but we are going to talk about Appleseed. Firearm safety,
mm-hmm.
And things for the home especially, because I think you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength when it comes to firearms.
Yep.
And we'll get to it right here on the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. I am joined by Alan Fisher. What is your proper title here at the Radio Factory?
I'm on the engineering staff.
Okay. I mean, you're the one that makes sure everything works.
I'm kind of the fix-it guy more than anything else, but yeah.
Good, because my off button for the mic doesn't work.
That will be visited as soon as we're off the air.
Now, I brought you in here today, and we've done this once before.
Yes.
But it's been a couple of years, because you and your lovely bride are running the local chapter of the Appleseed Project.
We are. I am the state coordinator for the Commonwealth of Virginia for Project Appleseed.
Now, before we say another word, let us point out that Appleseed is 100% voluntary.
We are a complete volunteer staff. We are a 501c3 educational organization, tax exempt.
And you're not getting paid.
We do not get paid.
For all the time.
For all the time.
And effort.
And lots of effort.
And, this is what happens when I invite people that are better than me in here. It just makes me look bad. But you've been with the Appleseed Project for how many years now?
We got involved. Our first shoot was June of 2010. So been involved about 9 years now.
Okay. So could you please explain to us what is Appleseed?
Project Appleseed was created to reinstill the qualities of marksmanship into the American public, and using marksmanship as a hook to get people interested, because we do provide first-class marksmanship instruction, but the hook is to bring people in so they will also hear the history of our nation. And we teach the history of the first day of the American Revolution, April 19th, 1775, Paul Revere writing to warn the colonists that the British are on the march, what the march became, the conflicts on the Lexington Green at Concord Bridge, and the fight all the way back to Boston. And most people have never heard that history. And we just feel like if you hear that history, you cannot sit back and watch things go wrong in your country, you get involved. And we use it as a motivator, and it's not political on one side or the other.
Yeah,
it's to get people involved in their government, to be sure they're in contact with their representatives at every level, county, state, city, federal. Make sure they're in contact with these people and talk to them regularly. And even if they're on your side or not, be in contact with them. Let them know what you think. They should never be given the excuse to say, nobody told me they didn't like it. So we want to be sure that there's always contact. If they're doing the right thing, let them know. If they're not doing the right thing, let them know. They need to hear from us. They are our representatives. And I'm of the personal opinion that any politician who jumps up and starts talking our democracy should be flogged on the spot. We are a republic, and we maintain that only as long as we know what a republic is and are willing to continue to participate.
I like the fact that you said if they're doing something right, call them up.
Yes.
Because people, and this, my friends, I'm gonna lay a little mechanisms down on you. No matter what you are doing, Any job, positive reinforcement is so important. I mean, I used to have guys working for me in construction. I tell people, I said, they'd break their necks for me because when they did something right, I would tell them, you did right, thank you, that was great. And of course, when they did something wrong, I came down like the hammer of God upon them, but that's a different story. So that same thing for politicians, what you're saying.
Absolutely. They need to hear from us. And again, that's at every level. Your county supervisors here in Henrico, for example, they need to hear from you about the things you want them to do, the things you don't like, the things you do like.
And that's an integral part of this Appleseed project.
Getting people back involved in their government is our primary goal. We want to save the country by doing this. And along the way, we teach you to become a fine marksman.
Now, I just got married back in September. My wife, who is my age, grew up in Washington, D.C.
Gun culture.
straight up, though. I mean, you have to understand how this is like the rarest of breeds because nobody is born and raised in D.C. None. Everybody, if you're in D.C., they're like, so where are you from? Everybody came there. So she grew up with no firearms anywhere. And had never even held a gun until she and I started dating. She was living in my house at the time. Yes, we were living in sin. And I had to go someplace for a couple of days, and I opened up a drawer, and I showed her where a certain firearm was, which has been locked away since then. I got my gun safe back. And I said, have you ever used one of these? And she had no clue about any of it. So I took her shooting for the first time. And she, I just, one of the reasons I hooked her up with you guys is just gun safety. That's.
We run a very safe organization, and safety is our primary concern when we are engaged on the range. Everybody needs to learn how to do anything with firearms with a great deal of safety. First and foremost, a firearm is a dangerous object.
Absolutely.
So, for that matter, is an automobile a dangerous object?
Right.
We accept automobiles because we see the use in them and because we've learned how to treat them with safety in mind. The same thing should apply to firearms.
Well, I mean, so that was one of the first things I wanted her, and I don't like using the word comfortable. I don't think that's a good word to use with firearms. I think respectful is a better word.
Familiar, competent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things I've said on this show many times is I have my concealed license. I very rarely carry because I don't feel confident enough for it to be a constant thing. When I carry, it's a very conscious moment. For the next period of time, I feel like I want to have that with me. So that's, and I'm conscious of it. I think with some more training, I would be more comfortable to carry on the regular. Does this sound stupid?
It's a very familiar mindset for a lot of folks. I've certainly heard that before. One of the concepts with personal carry is if you're carrying it because you're uncomfortable where you're going, why are you going there?
As a contractor, I can say because that's where my job is.
Yeah.
As a realtor, I can say in some cases that's where my job is. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, why would you put yourself in that situation? I mean, I remember back in the, it was in the 80s. My dad was working a job in the South Side, working ridiculously late in a bad neighborhood. And someone came up behind him in the inside the building and clocked him upside the head and robbed him. And the next thing I know, he lost his mind. He ran out and he bought the biggest 357 Magnum you could possibly imagine. I mean, something's out, straight out of Dirty Harry. And that thing was on his hip at all times. And I mean, he grew up with guns, but I always wondered, I mean, why were you there that late, Pop? Seriously, don't tell me that. All right, so let's, we have some time. What do people, how do I start? First of all, you have a lady seed coming up, and there are some open spots in that.
Yeah, we have these various shooting events all around the Commonwealth and all around all 50 states, actually. We are in all 50 states. It's a national organization. We have, when the opportunity presents itself, women's only shoots, and we have one such coming up at Rivanna Rifle and Pistol Club up in Charlottesville next weekend. And we'll be on the range Saturday and Sunday, and they will get to hear the stories of April 19th, 1775, and they will also have instruction in proper marksmanship techniques, the fundamentals of marksmanship, and get an opportunity to shoot quite a bit.
Would you find, I mean, I would, one of the reasons I signed her up for the all ladies is I feel that it would be a little less intimidating.
It seems to be. We have some women shooters who come to that, and then they are more than happy to come out to the mixed events. We're pretty much an all ages organization. We are not a kid organization, but we're very kid friendly. We've had frequently had shooters in their teens with us, and sometimes younger. It all depends on their ability to follow the safety rules with great care.
I mean, in the 4-H, we learned marksmanship using pellet rifles, but I mean, it was still the same mechanics, if you will. I mean, and that was kids that are like 12 and 13.
Yeah, fundamentals are fundamentals.
Well, my name is Rich McCann. I'm joined by Alan Fisher from Project Appleseed, spreading marksmen across the lands, just like Johnny Appleseed did. Is that the way it started?
Seems to be the way it came about.
All right. And they are having, now, since next week is the Lady Seed, when's the next event following that?
The next one that's occurring in the Richmond area is going to be at Cavalier Rifle and Pistol Club out in Montpelier, and that'll be the second weekend of June.
That's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's a gorgeous place. And we are blessed to have the cooperation of a lot of the ranges. Since we're a nonprofit organization, we don't have a place of our own to shoot. We get these opportunities on existing ranges by their grace and benevolence. They give us the opportunity to shoot and run these operations.
We will be taking your calls at 345-1140. It's 345-1140. I'm Richard McCann, joined by Alan Fisher from Project Appleseed right here on News Radio WRVA. News Radio WRVA, joined by Alan Fisher from Project Appleseed, 345-1140. Ellis in Bon Air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Quite well, Ellis.
I was listening to your program, and I please believe, I really think that there's not, you can't get enough safety training. But one thing Alan said about, you know, if you feel like you have to carry, why are you going there? This is supposed to be a free country. You ought to be able to go wherever you want to. You don't go looking for trouble, but you go prepared in case you anticipate it.
I think you may have misinterpreted what I was saying. I am in favor of people being armed anywhere they are legally allowed to be. The question is, if you pick up the firearm and put it on because you're going somewhere dangerous, why are you going somewhere dangerous? It's coming at it from a different end of the perspective,
yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. You don't go out looking. You don't go put on a firearm and go looking for trouble. But in this day and age, you don't know where it's going to come from.
Well, I'm of the opinion that if you are qualified to do so and legally may do so, you should be carrying your firearm all the time. It's not that you pick it up and put it on to go somewhere more dangerous than normal. It should be part of your daily life, but that's just me. That's my own opinion.
And I know plenty of people that agree with you on that, and I agree with you on that. I made a personal decision, and that will change. It will change eventually. I mean, I went to Colonial 2 weeks ago and really got a taste for it. And that's going to become probably a weekly thing for me.
Shooting is fun. There's no ifs, ands, or doubts.
I usually have one with me. I rarely carry one on me, though.
And that's another point. I was showing a house to somebody, got permission. The house was abandoned. Opened up the house. Once I walked in and I looked into another room, I said, everybody out. Because someone was squatting there. I didn't know who was there. Thanks, Ellis. I didn't know if someone was about to come in. We weren't expect. I went back out to my vehicle, and I retrieved my firearm. Francis is calling. Francis in Powhatan.
Yes, I have a question. I don't own a gun, but I would like to get a small gun for my wife and I for safety. What would you suggest?
The first thing I would suggest is look into some instruction on firearms.
Oh yeah. We're going to do that. We're both going to go to the instructions.
Most of the good courses, you're going to start out on a 22 caliber pistol, something of that sort. You will learn the fundamentals, and then you will probably get opportunities to shoot other things. Don't pick out the gun you want first. Learn about the firearms and how best to use them, and then figure out what sort of firearm you need. Firearms are pretty much like automobiles. There are some that will do most anything well, and there are some that will do only certain things well. And finding out which ones fit your needs best or your desires. If you're looking for a home security firearm, it's hard to go wrong with a full-size 9mm pistol. But a full-size 9mm pistol is not what you want to carry most of the time if you're looking for concealed carry. So
no, we don't want to carry it. I just want it at home for safety. I'm not going to take it out of the house. It'll mainly be in. When I say I'm not going to take it out of the house, take it home, take it out to shoot at the range. But we want it mainly at home for safety.
I'm going to jump in here. Everybody is different. Like Alan's hands are larger than mine. Okay, I've got short, stubby bass player hands. So like a Glock 17, which I own. It doesn't fit right. It really doesn't, where like a 1911 would fit much, much better. I wouldn't be worrying about caliber. I would be worried about accessibility, size, fit for you personally.
And your ability to shoot it well.
Exactly. So, you know, if you go to, I'll use Colonial. They're a sponsor here at the Radio Factory. If you go to Colonial Shooting Range, you can rent different firearms. For just so you can get a feel of what is good and what is not for you and your wife. Because remember, this is going to have to fit both of you.
Right, right,
that's
right.
That's how you decide you each need one.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you decide, right. I need three more. I mean, it's...
You will start collecting. Shooting is fun.
I mean, but if we were going to do a blanket answer, because everybody needs a blanket answer, I'd either do a 38 revolver or a Glock 19.
Right. Next question. This event in Charlottesville for the women only, is that free?
No, we do charge for it. It includes all your targets and T-shirts and various things and supplies.
So what is the charge on that?
A weekend shoot is $60 for an adult and $20 for youth or law enforcement or active duty military.
So 2 days of education for less than you and her going out to dinner.
Oh, wow. That's really... Now, when is the next one for joint, you know, her and I both?
We have one coming up in June, and this will be at Cavalier Rifle and Pistol Club, which is out in Montpelier.
And they can get this information at, what, appleseed.com?
Appleseedinfo.org.
.org?
.org.
Okay. Appleseed Info.
If you do a web search for Project Appleseed, you will find us without any problem. There's lots of information on us.
That runs about $60, too?
$60 per person, yes.
Per person. All right, now, do you bring your gun, or do they provide the gun?
Okay, we don't say gun.
In the case of Project Appleseed, it's rifle, and we can provide if somebody does not have one, but we generally want people to learn to use what they already own. So,
very good.
But we do make provisions, and sometimes a rifle is not well suited to Project Appleseed. We do some rapid fire stages that may require something to run better than it has, or than you currently have, or that needs better sights. Some rifles do not have sights that are easily adjustable. And to shoot with precision, you have to have your sights properly adjusted.
And so, a 22 isn't that expensive, so you can pick one up.
You bring up a good question.
Francis, Francis, I got other people, man. You've been taking up a lot of time here, son. Good
All right,
Lord.
Take care.
Talk about taking advantage of a man. He's excited. He's interested.
Hey.
But he's doing it right. I mean, this is buying a firearm for the house is a huge decision.
And everybody has to be part of it.
I mean, it's a bigger decision than saying, okay, we're going to dedicate this cast iron skillet to fish. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, Ken. Because that's all it's ever good for is ever again. But I liked what you were saying there. You can't just say, you know, buy the firearm first and then everything comes second. I think training comes first.
Yeah. We generally learn to drive before we go out and buy our first car. Same concept applies.
I'm going to get in so much trouble for this. But, I mean, I have floated out there the idea that, you know, because people talk about firearms control and blah, 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 blah. I have considered the idea of, you know, a one-time thing before you buy your first firearm is be required to go through a certain number of hours of training.
I'm never opposed to people seeking training.
Okay.
When you start putting requirements on what is viewed as, and I firmly believe is, a personal human right.
I'm with you. I'm not disputing
Then I am opposed
that.
To the requirement for training.
Okay.
But I'm not opposed to training. I think people should get firearms education if they're going to have firearms. But if the concept is the little old lady is keeping a revolver in her drawer or the nightstand, your 38 revolver, if you don't do a whole lot of learning and such, is still the original point-and-click interface. If she's got to use it in the dark of the night, it's probably going to work.
Yeah.
And while I'd much rather have her been through safety courses and other things, don't want to take the right away by restricting it.
You're absolutely right. You know, I sometimes float things out there without giving too much thought. But I will. But there is training for a concealed weapons license.
Absolutely.
And
of course, again, that's, you know, You're petitioning the king for permission to do something. So I'm not altogether in favor of that either. But that's me. I'm just saying.
I had to go through a certain amount of training to drive a car. I'm not trying to take anybody's guns, and I believe in the right to bear arms. I just wish there was some way. If it's only by you and me talking through this thing right here, encourage people to get training before they buy one.
Absolutely. I strongly encourage people to learn to operate any dangerous device safely.
So, and have a place to keep it. That's the other thing. When I took my concealed class, I'm sure you took the same class. You know, they said somebody breaks into your home, what's the first two places they're going to look for a gun?
The nightstand.
Right.
And the dresser drawer.
Oh, you missed it.
And under the mattress.
Thank you! It was nightstand, mattress, and then dresser drawer. But that's where everybody, all right, there it is. But, I mean, people do not store their weapons properly. And there's so many, biometric safes are the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, a very good choice for keeping your handgun safe.
Right. So let's get back to the Appleseed Project. Things that they're going to need if they want to come to this is they should bring their own .22 rifle.
And bring your own rifle. It doesn't have to be a .22. Center fires are welcome. So if somebody has an AR and they want to expend 400 rounds of ammunition for that at a cost of, you know, a couple hundred bucks, they're certainly welcome to. A .22 is not as noisy, has very little recoil, and for the purposes that we're doing, we shoot almost everything at 25 meters. So a .22 is perfectly suited for the ranges that we're shooting. But if you want to bring something heavier, that's fine. That's entirely up to you, and it's certainly welcome.
I personally, have been training with a .22 pistol. I pulled it out. I bought it years ago, and it wasn't until a buddy of mine told me, "Because why aren't you using this when you go to the range? Why are you spending 9mm when .22s are inexpensive and it's the same mechanics?"
Absolutely the same mechanics. What you learn on the .22 rifle perfectly translates to the centerfire rifle at greater distance.
All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about some stuff around the house that we can do. So, if we, you know, be prepared. This is The Home Show. Rich McCann, News Radio, WRVA, joined by my friend Alan Fisher from Project Appleseed, and right here, good old buddy of mine from the Radio Factory. So how are you so far, sir?
Doing very well.
So let's go backwards. Next week is Lady Appleseed.
Lady Seed.
Lady Seed, okay. And that's going to be in Charlottesville.
In Charlottesville. It's Rivanna Rifle and Pistol Club just outside Charlottesville, and it will be women providing the teaching experience and women learning on the line. There will be some guys there, but we're pretty much going to shuffle out of the way and let the ladies do it.
Yeah, you really just go away.
Yeah.
Go away. And my wife has signed up. She paid her fee. She got a hotel room.
We're very excited to have her signed on, and there are some slots open. So if this sounds like something any of the ladies in the audience might want to try, we teach the standing, sitting, and prone positions, and it's about getting shots on target with a rifle.
The sitting position kills me. With my back and knees, I'm just in agony.
There is the kneeling version of that, which is much less painful for some folks, and for me, it's the only one that works. But
and now, much like I was talking with a friend of mine about the motorcycle safety course, I've seen them take people that had never ridden a motorcycle before, mm-hmm. and by the end of it, they can get their license. This is totally kosher for people who have never fired a firearm.
We take people at every skill level. I have literally had Navy SEALs and Marine snipers come out and take our course. We did not teach them an awful lot. They pretty much knew it, but they also brought their families out, and their families learned a tremendous amount about how to operate a firearm safely and efficiently. And that was the greatest experience for them, to have their families out. But, you know, you look down the line and you see somebody with a suppressed 22 that's highly customized and they're putting all the shots in one hole. It's like, yeah, you've done this before.
I told you the first time she's ever held or fired a firearm was one after she, you know, and I got together. I didn't teach her. I took her over to my brother, who was an Air Force cop, whatever they're called, SPs, I think, for 6 years. I'm like, he's thrown more lead down range than I ever will teach her how to fire this gun. Because one, having a husband or a boyfriend try to teach you is not the best way to go about it, I don't think.
Yeah, there is additional stress involved in familial teaching sometimes.
And I'd rather her be taught by somebody who's done this. Oh, I mean, you guys have been doing it for, once a month for 9 years?
About that, yeah.
Okay, so people who are apprehensive, maybe, because it's an intimidating thing.
It can be. We go about it in such a way that safety is so ingrained that it becomes relatively comfortable because you're doing things in a safe and efficient method.
I tell you what, when I was at Colonial a couple of weeks ago, you have to watch a video. And, you know, it's always saying point down range, never point anywhere but down range. And I know this in my head. I've been doing this for, and I was firing a revolver, and I opened it up, and I tilted it upwards so I could empty out the brass. And the guy on the range, hey, point it down range, son. And I was like, they're keeping those professionals. That's all they do day in and day out. So
we have our own four safety rules at Appleseed, and they mirror the generally well-known four rules, but these are specific to us. But rule number one is always keep your muzzle pointed in the safe direction. And if everybody always does that, life's pretty good.
I agree. What's rule number two?
Do not load until given the load command. So we do not introduce cartridges into the rifle until a specific command is given. So there's never a mistake that a rifle is loaded until it is time for it to be loaded.
All right, number three.
Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on the target.
Number four.
Make sure those around you are following the safety rules.
Now, anybody,
and these are specific to Appleseed. They're the ones we've done because we shoot from a live line. Everybody shoots at the same time.
Now, most of the lines I've been on, yours and others, anybody can call ceasefire.
Absolutely.
That's important to know. That gives people power. If they see something up. Everybody's on the same page.
Yes.
Now, okay, so I'm getting her a rifle. I'm getting her one with a scope.
We shoot any type of optics. The best performance is achieved by something that is incrementally adjustable. So military type peep sights or scopes are probably preferred. If you were to come in with a Ruger 10-22 rifle with stock sights, you're probably not going to have the best day because they're not easily adjustable in precise increments.
We teach
people how to adjust their sights to get the best performance. And a lot of folks never adjust their scope, never adjust their sights. You'll be confident and competent in doing so once you come through our program because it will make you a better shooter.
All right, what else am I going to need? Does she need to bring?
Personal safety equipment, eye and ear protection. We usually have some spares if necessary.
I've got ear protection. I'll get her some safety glasses.
Okay. A shooting mat is a good thing, but we always have some spares. Again, you're shooting. A lot of this is done in prone, so you're going to be on the ground. About 500 rounds of ammunition for whatever the rifle is that you're choosing to shoot.
I'm going to Walmart.
Okay. And bring your lunch because lunch is going out for lunch kind of interferes with the teaching of the history because, again, we will teach the history of April 19th, 1775.
And that was one of the nice parts. I've done this with you a couple of times. It is really nice. Everybody just kind of sits down, unpacks their lunch. I remember the last time I did this with you, this one guy, he wanted to go full military. He brought MREs.
Frequently done, not frowned upon. Just, you know, bring whatever suits you. Some folks see this as their adventure in the great outdoors, and some folks just bring a ham sandwich and they're fine.
Knee pads, elbow pads?
Worthwhile. Not necessary, but especially if somebody has knee issues or elbow issues, it can be very handy. But again, a shooting mat has padding in it. So
true that. And ibuprofen?
For the time after, yeah. People are always surprised at how tired and sore they are after 2 days on the rifle range. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it's a very active 2 days.
I have my back and knees are an absolute mess, and I will say very clearly, last time I went out there with you guys, the next morning I could barely walk. But that was because I was putting I'm an older man, and I was putting myself in positions I don't usually put myself in. That's, you know, stretch before you work out, kids.
We are toying with the concept of what we call rifleman's yoga, because if you were to do the stretches and the positions on a regular basis, you would find that it was not difficult to do. But we put you in positions that you're not used to being in, and your body will talk to you about it later.
Well, to get information about this, it's appleseedinfo.org. It's called Project Appleseed. There's a ladies' Appleseed coming up next week in Charlottesville. That's going to be Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. We get people on the line as rapidly as we can. The idea is to go through our administrative procedures fairly quickly and easily and then be shooting as quickly as we can. Most of the instruction will happen right there on the line, and that's where you will get your best experience.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in, spending some time. You and I could talk about this for hours.
Yes.
You and I can just talk for hours. We've done it before.
This is quite true.
So I appreciate you coming in. My name is Richard McCann. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter if you want to check out Project Appleseed. It's appleseedinfo.org. You can find podcasts of the show at wrva.com. You know what? Hey, Jordan, let's get out of here, brother. That is another home show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Alan Fisher for coming in from Project Appleseed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. You can follow me here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon. Also follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. I'll see you back here, 10 o'clock, on News Radio WRVA.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!